our shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Amen. We love the Lord today. We thank him for blessing us to be in the house of worship. Amen. Amen. We have been talking about discovering the riches of God in Christ. And as we look at that text, there are many things that I'm finding in the Bible far more valuable, far more precious to us than silver and gold. When I first read it, I was thinking to myself, well, how could that be more valuable? As I look at the word and as I search it, I'm finding out that what God offers us out of heaven is far more valuable than anything that you will ever get in this world. The things in this world, they are temporary. Yes, they are important to us, but the most important things that you will ever receive are those eternal things that are coming out of heaven from God. Amen? Amen. I want to also mention that Brother David Walthall, he's been with us for several years, and his last Sunday is going to be on next Sunday, so we're going to continue to pray for him, but we praise the Lord for him, God blessing him to render music here at Crossroads. So if you have your Bible, turn with us to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and also 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. It's where we're going to find our scriptures for today. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Hear what it says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And that is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Say this with me. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Say it again. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you just some thoughts on the subject, the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. And he says to us in 1 Timothy 3 and 16, without controversy, in other words, beyond all question, great is the mystery of godliness. Mystery is something that you can't see. Yet its evidence can be seen everywhere. A mystery is something that might not be disclosed to the eye, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't come into fruition or it doesn't have some reaction in the world. It is a mystery in that the human senses cannot be, it's something that you may not detect with the human senses, but you know that God is God. And that's what we're talking about today, this mystery of godliness. And I'll be sharing with you a couple of things that you need to understand about this mystery of godliness. First of all, we're going to talk about it being our mission. It is measured. It's something that you can measure. It is a miracle from God that God has given us this godliness. Now, as we look at these verses, I want us to think about how valuable is that to us? Can you spend it at the gas pump? Probably not. Can you use it at the grocery store? I wouldn't try. You may not be able to do those tangible things with it. But I tell you what, without godliness, you will not be able to live the abundant life. Without godliness, you will not be able to enter into the gates of heaven. See, what you got to understand is that your time on this planet is limited to maybe 80, 90, 100 years. Most of us hope to get there. Most of your time will be spent in eternity. Now, everybody is going into eternity, but everybody ain't going to heaven. Are y'all in the building? And without godliness, you will not live that life that you ought to live down here, neither will you make it into glory. You have to have godliness. Godliness, of course, is demonstrating how the believer positively responds to the will of God. That's what godliness is. Your response to the will of God. People say, I love God. Well, show me godliness. If you love God, you're going to reflect God in your life. Whoever you hang around, you're going to be around. Are y'all here? See, if you hang around God, God will impact your life. If you hang around friends and what they do, they will impact your life. And I use the analogy, you might hang around skunks, and that's fine if that's your thing, but it's going to tell. So we have to look at godliness as something that every believer ought to have in their life. And Paul says, without controversy, beyond all question, great is this mystery of godliness. Now, he's talking specifically about Jesus, but all of Jesus, amen, is not just here, but is also in us. Look at somebody, tell them, you got Jesus in you. You've got Jesus in your life. He said, great is this mystery. Here was Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh. In other words, he came to our planet. He condescended. He came from heaven down to earth in order to show us God. People have their opinions about God, and they still do. They still do. But here's the declaration of God as he comes from heaven and he shows us what God is like. He walked among us. He taught us. He ate. He lived in this world to show us what God was like. He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. When Jesus was baptized by John, the Bible said that the Spirit came upon him without measure. Whenever the Spirit comes upon someone, it is for God to use them mightily. Now, for the Spirit to be given without measure to Jesus Christ, that meant that he was to do something that no other person could do. That is the work of redemption. That is the work of salvation. That is God, amen, manifesting himself to bring about salvation in our lives. And I love this, where it says he was seen of angels. The angels descended upon him, and they ascended back into heaven. They were bringing messages to him because he was and he is today the Son of the living God. Angels descended. I don't see any angels descending and ascending upon you and me. So that must mean that we are not the Jesus Christ, but we are Christians. And I'm going to show you something as we talk about this miracle of the godliness. The miracle is, how in the world could such a mighty God dwell in temples like us? The mystery of godliness. He was preached to the Gentiles. That's us. Non-Jews. There was no way for us to get into heaven because the gates had not been opened. Non-Jews. And yet we here this day are saying that we're as saved as any Jew will ever be saved because of Christ. Not our works, but his work. Jesus was manifest in the flesh. Yes, he was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then when he had completed the work, he was received up into glory. Thanks be to God. Why did he go back to heaven? He went back to heaven to represent you and I before the throne of Almighty God. Every time a prayer request comes up into glory in his name, the Father looks at Jesus, and Jesus says it's all right for them to have it. That means you need to know what you're praying for. And you need to honor him as the one who is the way maker for you and the one who makes it possible for you to receive all of these blessings that you have in life. Think about all the things that God has given you up to this point. Think about all the mercies he's shown you, the accidents that could have killed you, the people that could have caused major problems in your life, and yet God walked with you through that situation. Look at somebody, tell them it was nobody but Jesus. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful. This is a mystery to the world. It is a mystery to see how the impact of Christ is working in our lives. Now you say, What does it mean, a mystery? Well, the mystery of iniquity works in the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 talks about the mystery of iniquity. You don't see the devil, but I tell you what, he's real. You don't see people wearing horns, but yet they can do some stuff that you say, what in the world is happening here? The evil that is happening in the world is being influenced by the evil one. That doesn't mean people can't be mean on their own. And a lot of what folks are blaming on the devil, it ain't nobody but you. Come on now. Your attitude and all of the things that you claim, well, the devil made me do it. You ain't Flip Wilson, so don't even try that trick. But the iniquity, the world of iniquity in which we're living in, the savagery, it seems that we should be becoming more of a progressive culture, we're acting like animals. We're acting like people who don't have any type of dignity, and Lord knows what in the world has happened to respect. People can't even give each other respect these days. Ain't nobody but the devil and the devil in people. So we have to learn that there's a mystery that's working in the world. But thanks be unto God, we have this mystery of godliness. Now, what is the mission of godliness? Why in the world would God want you to be responsive to his will and to be Christ-like in the way that you live? What happens to us the moment that we receive Jesus Christ? Is God now working in us? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Paul says something to us in the book of Romans that helps us to understand what is our mission in life. People say, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I'm going to make that plain to you today. So when you walk out of here, you will know what is the will of God for your life. Here it is, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what you're living in, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world. That's number one. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed into his likeness. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, watch this, will of God. So what does that mean, preacher? That means when you respond in a positive way to the will of God, God then makes you godly. You begin to act like him. Before you make a decision about something, you'll say, well, wait a minute, let me pray about this. Let me ask God. Let me seek what God says. You're going to find a scripture, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to the path and the decision that you need to make in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that's godliness. Conforming your life into the likeness of what God is doing in your life. You got basically three choices that you can make in life. People say, well, what is the will of God? You got three choices. You can live for self-gratification, and that is do everything based on what you think you ought to do. Here's what I think. You can live your life that way. You can say to yourself, me first, everybody else is going to be second or none at all. That's what self-living is all about. That's what self-gratification is all about. It is living based on your appetites. If you wake up one morning, you decide you want to do this, the emotional appetite is said, hey, let's act this way, or let's make this decision. If you live your life according to self or according to the flesh, let me tell you what the end result is going to be. It's going to be self-centered living. It's going to ruin relationships. How many of y'all discovered that? You live for self, you know, you don't have anybody. All you got is self. That's all you have. Self-gratification, it causes relationships to erode because it's only based on your perception of what you think is right. And that's one way of living. The another way of living is to live based on what other people say. What other people are doing, my mama used to always say, if they dropped off, if they jumped off a bridge, you're going to jump off too. Well, I was living that type of life where I was influenced by other people. And there are some people that have fallen into that trap. They say, well, I'm going to live my life based on the crowd I'm in, the gang I'm with, the group I'm with, and they're going to influence. You are living as a slave. That's what slavery is all about. Somebody else telling you how you ought to live your life. So you got a choice. Live based on self. Live based on what others tell you or society. Get squeezed into that mold. That's what Paul says when he talks about being conformed in this world. You know how you make cookies? You used to have, and we poor folks from the country, so we didn't have fancy cookie cutters. We had cups. And they used to come out of the oatmeal box. Y'all remember that? Get the oatmeal out, you have the cup, and then you make cookies out of them. In other words, I know some of the younger people looking at me like, what? So when the world squeezes you into its mold, it's saying you ought to look like and act like this. That's the way that you ought to live based on the way that we've forced you into that mold, and now you're set into that attitude. Now the result of that kind of living, where you live based on public opinion, you become a slave, you become a victim to the things that's happening in this world. And no wonder people are living so frustrated lives, angry lives, because they are not free. Ah, but let me tell you about another man. Let me tell you about the way that you can live. You can make it your life mission to live like God. As a matter of fact, that was his original plan. When God said, let us make humans, he said, let's make them in our image. He looked at all of the beautiful things that he had created, all of the wonderful things that he had made, and said, you know, we're not going to make them like any of those. We're not going to make them like the animals. We're not going to make them like the trees. We're not going to make them like the other creatures that are upon the earth. Let's make them like me. Let's step back for a minute. You're in a body made out of flesh and clay. But God's decision was, it's not what you look like on the outside. It's what you look like on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, that is godliness. And if you're not being shaped into the image and likeness of God, God's not in trouble. God's not up in heaven sweating. God's not upset about it. Well, they're not like me. You're the one in trouble. So if you are a believer, or if you profess to be a believer, you'd better make sure that you are pursuing, that you are trying to respond to this thing called godliness. And that's what makes it so valuable. That's your mission in life, is to live for God's glory. Everybody got that? Now, I'm going to show you why it's important. I'm going to show you why it's important. Because godliness actually, I didn't have this in my notes, but godliness actually establishes your ID. I got an ID in my wallet. Now, I'm who I am because I say I'm William Coleman, right? But that's not good enough for some places that you go. They wanted to have it documented. Are y'all still in the building? I'm getting ready to preach now. They want to have what they call a facial recognition document that says you are who you are. And I got my wallet, which I just dropped. I'm back now. And I got my wallet, and inside of it, I have a military ID, but I also have a Virginia driver's license. Why do I have that? Just in case I get pulled over. Guess what the one who pulls me over is going to want to see? He's not going to look at me. He's going to look at the document that says you are who you are. Now, I know some of you are wondering where I'm going with this. I'm asking myself, where am I going with this? Without this document, I cannot get on some airplanes. If you go to some place and say, hey, I want to spend the night. My wife and I, we're traveling now that we're retired. I want to spend it. They're going to say, show me your driver. Wait a minute, look at me. They say, no. We need a document that says you are who you are. Here is the document that the state of Virginia gave me, took a picture of me at the time. I looked pretty good, yeah. Got a little grill now. But when you become godly, the Holy Spirit takes a picture of you and says, that's who you are. So whenever you get confused about who you are, the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute, you ought to be pursuing godliness because this is your document. This is the person that you ought to be. This is the way you ought to be acting. You ought not to be getting angry, upset, cussing folk out because that's not your picture. That's not like you. Oh, God, I wish I could preach this thing the way I feel it. You see, a lot of us, we're not carrying around proper identification, and we're wondering why life is so hard. Pull out your document and say, I know who I am because I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Godliness. And Paul says this thing is great gain, which means money can't buy you out of some of the problems. But godliness will pay the bill. Because you're looking, the Holy Spirit looks at us and he says, Father, I'm going to shape them like this. I'm going to make them into your image. They're going to be more loving. I know they look messed up right now, but let me work with them. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to make you godliness, or to make you godly and become a child of God. Make it your life mission. Let me give you a simple example, and then I'll move on to preaching. Amen. David was a person after God's own heart. He was what you might call godly. Did he make mistakes? Yeah. He made mistakes. Are you going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. I know some of y'all said, I made a bunch of them, and man, I just want to live right. Well, there are things that you're not going to fully comprehend. But listen to what David did in his life. He made the decision that he was going to please God and live for God. Watch this. He went out to the battlefield, young man, about 17 years old, went out to the battlefield. All of the people of Israel were shuddering because this giant by the name of Goliath was down in the valley mocking their God and saying, your God is nothing and y'all ain't nothing, basically just slandering them. And the Bible says David stood up and said, all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. All the world will know. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He had no battle experience. The only thing he had done was kill a bear and a lion. He had never fought a Philistine. Watch this. How did he know it? God was shaping something in him that gave him an identification. God gave him a spiritual ID. He says, David, you're a child of God. You're of my kingdom, and you're going to represent me. When God makes you godly, he makes you fit for the occasion. Some of y'all came to church this morning, you got all your stuff out, you got you and made sure it was color coordinated. Yeah, my wife, she showed me how to dress it. Get color coordinated, and you want to be presentable. When you get up in the morning, you make a decision. Either I'm going to live godly or I'm going to live worldly. I'm going to be for the things of God or I'm not going to be for the things of God. That decision is up to you. Now, very quickly, how do you measure godliness? If something is great gain, it ought to be godly. How many of y'all got 401k plans or had some and now they lost money? Got savings and you're watching it go down, down, down. Godly stock never goes down. It is not subject to inflation. It is not subject to human events. It is not subject to all of these other things that causes people to go berserk because I don't have what I used to have. Thank God I got my life. And the world didn't give it to me. Can't take it away from me. But very quickly, here's how you measure godliness. Number one, you measure it through obedience. Through obedience. James 1 and verse 22 says, don't merely hear the word, but be doers of the word, lest you deceive yourself. So you've got to be a doer of the word. How in the world can you say, well, I'm godly, and you're not doing what God says? You've got to obey the voice of the Lord. Now, here's what happens when you see a situation coming on your life, and somebody's either saying something or doing something to you that you don't like, and here's how you respond to it in the flesh. You just let them have it. But the Holy Spirit, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, he has the reins to your heart. Wait a minute, don't say that. How many of y'all had that to happen? You were getting ready to let someone have it, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, put the brakes on. And you're up there trying to say what you want to, and you're almost speaking in tongue. Oh, I just want to die this word. You can't do it because of the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you want to be obedient to his will. You want to obey him, not the voice of feeling. You want to obey the voice of God. Y'all learning something? Second measure of godliness is the fruit of the Spirit. If you say that you're godly, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, every Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you can be in Sunday school. You're going to learn something. I'm not there all the time, but I try to make it sometime. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, that has to be manifested every day. The mystery is that godliness is in you, but the manifestation is that the fruit of the Spirit comes through you. Now you see the connection. Jesus, when he came into this world, he didn't just sit back on a corner and say, hi, I'm Jesus. He did something. When you got godliness in you, you're going to do something. What is that? You're going to produce fruit. Now watch this. I went by an apple tree the other day, and I noticed that the apple tree wasn't straining. It wasn't saying, come on, apples. Come on, apples. Turn red, apples. No, it took in the nourishment of its surroundings. And the next thing you know, here comes one apple. Here comes two. Here comes three. All started to blossom. You bear fruit because God is in you. That's what makes you godly. Boy, y'all missed that. Okay, for those of you that love math and equation, here it is. God in you plus open heart equals fruit of the Spirit. Get that? So you measure godliness by obedience. You measure godliness through the fruit of the Spirit. But there's one other measure that I know you're not going to like, but you need it. You need it because it's going to comfort you. It's going to help you. Anytime you're godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Let me say that again. Anytime you are godly, you're going to suffer persecution. I'm going to preach today, and y'all going to say, Lord, have mercy. He's preaching today. 2 Timothy 3 in verse 12. All who live godly, how many? All. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, here's the way most people respond to persecution. If they're persecuted by their neighbor, they don't speak to their neighbor anymore. Done with it. If they get persecuted in the church, I ain't going back there no more. Done with it. Here's how Jesus said to respond to it. He said, when they persecute you for my name's sake, rejoice. Be glad. Because they persecuted everyone that was righteous. And they're going to persecute you. He said, if they hated me, guess what? They're going to hate you. How many of y'all did the right thing? Tried to make things right. But anyway, it backfired on you. It didn't backfire. That's the way it was supposed to work. You measure godly. If you got everybody saying, oh, you know, Reverend Coleman, he's the best thing in the world. I know there are folks that don't like what I do. Amen. But that doesn't bother me because I know that I'm loved by God. I'm his beloved. You doing that? When you are godly, you will suffer persecution, and that's a measure of godliness. You also need to be obedient to the Spirit, and you need to bear fruit. Let me close by talking about this miracle. I've given you the meaning of godliness, showed you how you measure godliness, but I'm going to talk about the miracle of godliness, how God took a mess like you and me and turned it into something good. I could quit preaching right there. Because if you think about where the Lord brought you from, how he picked you up and turned you around, how he placed your feet on solid ground, you would be rejoicing because you know it couldn't have been me. If I had lived out my dream, I'd still be down home at that old tree, drinking corn liquor, drinking beer, talking trash. Come on now. I'm going down your corner. I still be doing what I used to do, but thank God, what was it that turned me around? I know it was not me, but God got a hold of, I started to say something, but God got a hold of this country boy and made him into a new creature. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know how gracious he was, how merciful he was. And that's why I preach. That's why I can tell the greatest of sinners, you can be saved if you give your life to God. You are not hopeless. And I might be talking to somebody online getting ready to commit suicide. Don't go that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and God will help you. He will help you. It's a miracle. It's a miracle when we're godly. And other people will see that miracle taking place. I look at some of you all and where you came from. Amen. I said, God, you are so wonderful. How you have blessed them to get through all of the struggles that they had to go through. I look at some of you and I knew that you were struggling. Prayed for you in your struggle. And look at you now. You may not be everything that you want to be, but when you look back, you can say, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Anybody in here can say, he brought me from a mighty long way. Come on, give the Lord a shout out. Don't give him a patty cake. Give the Lord a shout out. Somebody else can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, wanted to give up, tried to give up, but he didn't let me give up because he keep on blessing me. Hallelujah, somebody. The miracle of godliness. The apostles displayed the miracle of godliness. How do they do it? As they witnessed, here's what folks said about him. You know how it is when you don't have all the formal education. You try your best not to split verbs and talk country, but every now and then the country come out. So here's what the Jewish leaders said about the apostles. He said, now when they saw the boldness, Acts 4 and verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, just common folk. Have anybody ever called you ignorant? That's all right. As long as I know one thing. I know I was lost, but now I'm found. I ain't got to know everything else. Listen what it said. It said that they marvel. They marvel. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Does anybody look at you and say, you know what? You've been with this man. You know so many things about him. You know how he can calm your fears. You know how he can guide you through the storm. You know how he's a way maker. You know how he's a burden bearer. Even the Jewish leaders who hated what they were doing couldn't deny the man that they had walked with. That's godly. Look at somebody and tell them, that's godly. But then the miracle goes on because the miracle of godliness gives you power to live by. You couldn't live this life without God. And here's what's happening. As you go to glory, God is preparing you for glory. Look at somebody, tell them that's godly. You know how it is when some of y'all on your way to church, I know I ain't gonna get in trouble this Sunday talking about but you know how some of y'all do when you're on your way to church or someplace, you in the mirror, you're trying to put on makeup, you're trying to, lights change, and now you still powdering. But that's good. That's good. I took my wife up to Roanoke the other day, and she said, I got to go into the certain store because they sell the kind of makeup that I like. Now, what made me love what she was saying is because she wants to look good. I think she looked good anyway. I don't know. Just could be me. I don't know. I tell people my ears ain't doing too good, but my eyes pretty good. All right, so what she was saying is, I know that I look as best as I can, but I want to get me to the state where it's better than good. Is that why y'all put on makeup? Yeah, you look good, but you want to look better. Guess what's happening to you on your way to heaven? The Holy Spirit is with you, making sure that when you get to heaven, you look good. Dead God. Rev, I like that. I like that. Here's what it says in Philippians 1 and verse 6. And I'm almost done. I know chicken's on the stove. Y'all got to get home. I'm almost done. Here's what it says in Philippians 1 and verse 6. It doesn't specifically say that the Holy Spirit is dressing you up and getting you prepared. But look at this. We are confident of this very thing, Philippians 1 and 6, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. So let's say you got some habits in your life and things that you haven't given up. The Holy Spirit said, okay, I got to take that out and I got to put this in. By the way, anytime God takes something from you, he's going to give you something back. Are y'all listening to me? So on your way to heaven, you don't recognize it. But then when people start talking, you say, you're different. You've changed. And it's not just by time. It's by the grace of God. People that are struggling with habits and addictions, sometimes you can't shake it all off at that moment, but keep walking. Touch somebody and say, keep walking. As you walk with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you don't even remember when you gave it up, but you're going to give it up. Why? Because what's important is that he gets you prepared, fully prepared, for that moment when you'll meet Christ. Now, let me take you to the greatest miracle of all. Talking about this miracle of godliness, you're being fashioned, all right? You're, in a sense, putting on makeup. In a sense, you're getting prepared because you're getting ready to go to glory. You wouldn't want to show up in some prominent place dressed in rags. And God's going to make sure you don't look like that. That's why he's working on you. Look at his word again. Tell him he's working on me. Here's the last thing. The greatest miracle of godliness will come when we appear before God in heaven. Here's the miracle. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Remember what I told you in Genesis? God said, let us make man in our image. When you get to glory, you're going to look just like God. How many of y'all know I'm a Coleman? How many of y'all have seen other Colemans? I look just like my daddy. People say he's the spitting image of his daddy. That's because my father in the flesh begot me. When God gets you in the spirit, I got you. You're going to look just like me. You may not want to look like me, but because you're in my word, before we get through this life, I'm going to make sure that you look exactly like me. Now imagine this on that great day morning. You know how folks say great day in the morning. This will be a great day. You appear before God. You're nervous because you don't know what to expect. You've never been there before. But when you appear and you see Jesus, his reflection, oh man, look at me. look at what I look like, but then look at him, because that's what he looks like. You will be perfect. And God will say, well done. My way of saying, all right, it's about time you finally made it. Now you're like me. That's what godliness is all about. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for showing us the value of godliness. All the silver and gold in this world could not purchase that. All the diamonds that we've discovered, Lord, even the greatest diamonds, they cannot compare to that jewel of great price for us to be like you. And I thank you for it. We didn't earn it. We can't struggle to make it happen. But allowing the work of the Holy Spirit, we will be what you intended for us to be. That is godliness. So we thank you and we praise you. For those that are listening, Lord, and they're not at that place right now, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow them to recognize what they could be instead of being just as they are. Mold them and shape them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give the invitation. There might be some that are struggling saying, hey, I want to know more about Christ. You can write to us online. Drop me a line, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll respond back as much as we can to let you know what needs to happen for you to become a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're in here and you desire to be a part of our fellowship here at Crossroads, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have that fellowship through Christ our Lord. If there be any, the invitation is given. Will you come?
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
Amen.
Come on, choir.
Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do.
About Jesus. Yes. And today there is a new disease going around, and I've got it. And that is not monkey pox, but Jesus pox.
Amen.
And I've got it.
All right.
Let us pray. Father, today we are so thankful that thou has enabled us, O God, to come together as a church, as a body, to listen to your word and to fellowship and to worship you. So as we leave the sanctuary, O God, we do pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to go out and share your word with someone else. announce the message of God that you have communicated to us through Light Man's servant. May we, O God, allow it to motivate us so that we can be more like you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Power on. Ready to pair. Phone connected.